Welcome back, everybody, to Ball Year Round Podcast. This is Andy and Mike. Just want to give a quick thank you to Eric Strickland coming on the show, sharing his story and what he has been able to accomplish and continues to accomplish with what he's doing with Cerebro Sports. So shout out to Cerebro Sports. Make sure you guys go and check them out. They're doing some really cool things here with statistics and being able to project various draft picks, et cetera. So it's some really cool stuff, and it can be done in many different fields, as well as marketing, even mentioned. So go back and listen to that. And shout out to Eric and Cerebro Sports. And Mike, how you doing today, man?
Doing good, man. Episode 50. Didn't know if we'd make it this long, but here we are. And we had a little guest lined up for today's Thursday show. It's Wednesday morning as we record this, and unfortunately, he had a little something happen, so he wasn't able to make it to the recording last night. But hopefully, we'll have him on in the next couple of weeks here, and he'll get to hear his good times. But we got got lucky. Episode 50 happened to just line up with someone sliding my DMs about some sort of partnership kind of thing. So we're going to have a new company with a little bit of ad kind of thing. That's just going to, I don't know, somehow be organically brought up in episodes at some point down the road here. We're just going to iron out what the promo code would be so we can, do it right. So there's a little clothing company that does some pretty cool artwork for t-shirts, sweaters, and stuff like that. And they're looking to partner with the pod and the brand and see what we can do. I don't know if our shirt's gonna end up on there someday. I'm talking to him about that. Have him help us with the logistics of shipping and distribution and all that shit, but we'll figure that out when we get there. But that was pretty interesting. I was on the Instagram DMs last night talking to the guy about it. But yeah, that should be fun. So yeah, we might be able to get those shirts out of your house someday, big guy.
I love that, man. It's always exciting around here, exciting times. And like I said, just doing this, the 50th episode, I think it's really great that we have made it this far, and it's been a great learning experience. And, now I'm just, excited to see whatever else we got in store and meet some more new great people, man. That's what's been really fun about this, takes a lot of pressure off just working every day, something to do and bring some positive light to the game and to people's lives. So it's been cool, man.
Really. Yeah, happy. Definitely. Yeah. It's been a good time. I think one of my favorite parts of some podcasts, when you come across, someone that you may not have heard of, and then you hear their story and what they're doing. And it's like, very interesting. And whether it's fun tangent or something, little piece of advice or strategy that they took that you can run with. So yeah, it's been really fun to do this. And hopefully we can keep this thing rolling for another few years here. But the shirts, if you want our Ball Year Round Podcast shirts, we got them still. DMs are open. It's the logo that you see on your, whether it's Spotify, Apple, or Breaker, whatever you're listening to us on, it's that logo on a black t-shirt. So yeah, hit up Andy or myself, and we'll get something shipped out to you if you want one. But yeah, college basketball is back. We got something to distract me from my very average Celtics, at least.
Yeah, man, it was last night was actually pretty fun, man. It was exciting to see some of these games and these young prospects come out there. We've been hearing about them for so many months, and now finally they're hitting the floor. And a game that really stuck out obviously was the Duke Kentucky game. And I wasn't fortunate to actually watch it in watch it happen, but I was able to follow. And Oscar's pretty impressive, man, at Kentucky. Yeah. Good fella, and that was it was nice to see him, kind of have some success coming from West Virginia to Kentucky, man.
Yeah, it's a huge loss for you. He was pretty clearly one of our best offensive players and great rebounder when he was at Kentucky or West Virginia. And he transferred across state lines to Kentucky, which that transfer portal has opened up Pandora's box for a lot of coaches. And Shuibe his reasoning was, which when I say this, I haven't even said this to Andy, it's going to make a lot of sense. His reasoning was the style of play at West Virginia was too clogging the lane. There was too much, old school, not wide out, run and gun kind of stuff. And it was too tight in the lane, especially with he loves Derek Culver. He spoke well of his buddy Derek, and but it's just too tight when you have those two guys down there sometimes trying to post up. So that was his reasoning on going. But Huggins' reasoning was he's taking the easy way out. You know, people got to earn it, and he like someone's trying to hand it to him, and it's like, all right, dude, like Kentucky pushes people to NBA, like they play more pro style. Like, I know what you're saying, but you sound like an old man right now.
A bit, you know, like that is that like old school mentality as far as that goes. You know, it's like you got to just more is better and fighting is better, and it's more like, you know, it seems like if you can adjust with the times. Those are the coaches that are A, sending players to the next level and having, you know, better, I would say even retention. I mean, that was one of our better recruits, and Oscar, I thought was going to be a perennial piece to, you know, doing something because he had bring such a presence inside, you know, and Culver could move and whatever he was doing at the time, but it just, you know, he's right. It was clogged up with both of them, and, you know, they didn't want to, I guess, expand. I don't know why Culver didn't really expand much. You know, he stayed a lefty hook guy and rebounder. Like, yeah, you know, the jump shot never came along, you know.
Yeah, he shows signs of that, like, mid-range pull-up, but he doesn't really do it much in game. It doesn't seem like it's kind of been something that's been polished in his couple years at West Virginia. But this is just, you know, NLI or NIL, rather, is, you know, the bag's illegal. So, like, Huggins can say all he wants and be upset, but with the transfer portal being a thing and the bag being technically legal now, like someone like Kentucky can come in and be like, hey, this Mercedes dealership wants to give you some money if you come here. And it's like, all right,
say it. So we're open style for me to run and catch the ball and do what I do. So
right.
That, and, you know, I think Kentucky, you know, they just got to, you know, find themselves. Like that's what happens with Coach Cal teams, like young teams. He gets it, I think. And he does one of the better jobs in the country with turning, you know, teams around that, you know, maybe weren't is looking great. Like there was a few teams he had before, you know, that where it just took, you know, halfway through the year to get them going. So I hope Ty Washington kind of comes around, and, you know, he couldn't hit a shot yesterday. No. He struggled a bit. So,
yeah.
And he's a guy that, you know, they've been really high on too. So it's hopefully we'll see. But what did you think of Paolo?
Dude, yeah, Paolo looked great. I think, you know, that game, I was lucky enough to find a stream that probably would have murdered Andy's computer, probably will murder mine soon. But like, I think Paolo looked great. Wendell Moore looked great. Trevor Keels popped off the screen a lot in that game. Kind of thought we'd see more out of AJ Griffin. He didn't get a ton of minutes though. So hopefully he'll come along. But the biggest thing I think I saw, I mean, Duke looks great. Duke's going to be really good. They're going to be tough to beat all year. And like it was a close game at one point. And then Paolo, he like had a cramp or something midway through the second half. And then he came in with like 8 minutes left and just got like six straight buckets and stretched it to 12. It was tough. He's really tough. He looks like, you know, something like a Michael Porter Jr. better version, to be honest. Like, I don't want to say Kevin Durant because that's just feels ridiculous to call anybody like Kevin Durant, but he's the closest I think we've ever seen. And maybe Chet Holmgren will be saying the same thing about him because he also moves ridiculously well for his size, but he's so much, you know, Paolo is so much bigger than both of them strength wise that he's the biggest dude I think I've seen that just smoothly gives you a crisscross and pulls up off the dribble in the mid range. And it looks like, you know, he looks like a 6'3" guy doing it. And it's like, oh, that's, and he's not as stiff as MPJ. So, but the biggest thing that stuck out with Kentucky, which is why I was like, man, they got Schwiebe, because Schwiebe is there. It's kind of seemed like their best player and their go-to offensive guy. Like they have a kid Wheeler who had 16 and 10, but there was really none of that, like usual Kentucky, like, oh, eye popping guy clearly looks like he's, you know, a great perimeter player, you know, on Kentucky. So they're going to be heavily reliant on Schwiebe this year, which is sad because, you know, maybe we had a chance to knock Kentucky off a little bit down a notch. But like you said, too, they're usually a slow starter, even with their five stars. They always kind of slow start and ease their way into season. And Duke's just really good. So
Schwiebe, 19 rebounds, dude. Like,
yeah, he's a monster down there.
So that's half their rebounds almost for the game. You know,
that's kind of Duke's weakness is big men inside, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, you know, that's why they're going to really need a lot from, you know, Wendell Moore. You know, he's got it. Like, I like the kid, but it's like, dude, you know, four boards, you know, you got to just do more in 33 minutes. I feel he's got to impact the game a bit more on the, you know, that end for them, I think, to stay successful.
Yeah, he's funny because he's kind of listed as like small forward, power forward-ish, but he's only 6'5". He kind of plays a bit of a guard game, or a lot of a guard game. That kid, Paolo's obviously like going to develop more big man stuff, but he's not like the, you know, he's not like the, you know, lockdown interior defender guy quite yet. He'll probably get there, I'm sure. He has all the talent too. But the guy who was nasty inside was Mark Williams, who's a 7-foot sophomore at Virginia Beach. He was just swatting shots. He looked great. He's a guy that's going to like not look to score, not get the ball to score, but just try hard on defense and use his arms and athleticism to bother everybody. So that's their hope right there. But Shuibe is just a freaking big dude. Like he's a very jacked 6'9", 6'10", and he knows how to carve out position, especially against lighter dudes. Like Mark Williams isn't a very heavy dude. So he was carving him out all night and getting rebounds, which kept them in the game for sure.
Definitely. And I don't buy that he isn't tough enough either, man. Like, his story, actually, if you really like look deeper into it, he's had a tough go, and he's really, you know, has fought to stay in America and everything like that. You
know? Yeah.
So I just don't buy that he's, you know, soft and he wanted the easy way out.
No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely, man. But
that seems that whole quote just felt very like old school to me, and I get it. Like, I love Huggy. Like,
yeah.
He's a great coach. He's an all-time Hall of Fame coach. Like, great dude, smart basketball guy. But you know, the game's evolving. The college, you know, nature of recruiting and the NIL and all that stuff and transfer portal, it's all kind of evolving. And guys can kind of, they don't have to stay in the militant or, you know, extremely, you know, structured kind of styles anymore of old school college basketball. If they don't like it and it doesn't feel like it fits their game, they can just go bounce to somewhere that plays a little more freelance, wide open, for better or worse. did you see the box score between Hofstra and Houston?
I you know what, I saw that game was close, and I know Speedy
went to overtime.
Yeah, Speedy Claxton is the head coach at Hofstra, his alma mater. So yeah, no, he's got those guys playing tough, and obviously, you know, Houston with you know, that's not an easy game. They were just in the Final Four, you know, two years ago now. But man, I did not get a chance to see it live. Did you, did you see it live? What was it?
I didn't catch it, but my buddy went to Hofstra and he hit me up this morning and was like, "Oh, did you see that? We put Houston into overtime." I was like, "What?" Like, the top 20 ranked Houston or like Houston Presbyterian Southern? Like, what are you talking about? And he's like Speedy Claxton. I was like, Speedy Claxton Jr., like, his son's on the team now? No, Speedy Claxton's running the squad. I was like, oh man, okay. So I mean, they're 0-1 to start the season, but the fact that they even hung with Houston, who's 15th in the country right now, plays in a good conference, like, that probably means hell for the rest of Hofstra's conference. Like, Hofstra's probably gonna handle everyone in their conference if they can hang with Houston. They got a senior 5'11", just classic scoring off the dribble point guard kid named Zach Cooks, who is out of Lawrenceville, and he had 26 last night, and he's a guy that could, I mean, I don't want to say the Steph Curry thing or something like that this early, but in that mold of, like, you know, they know he's their guy, and he's going to take a lot of shots. He's going to look for a shot. He took 11 threes. And then there was another dude who took 15 threes on their team, but he only hit three of them. So I don't know if he's going to get to do that all year. Cooks, he was 3 of 15 from three. Another senior, Omar Silverio. But yeah, they have an older squad, which is always, you know, when you're looking for those dark horse, like, random small conference, non-power five schools, like, especially with tournament potential and guys that, you know, are going to make the tournament maybe with Hofstra, but in their conference, like, that's the kind of team you're looking for to, you know, picking as your dark horse into the tournament with all the 23-year-olds that are all men at this point.
Like that pick for sure, as a dark horse, man. And geez, you know, you could tell they are up tempo. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, 43 threes up in a game. That's over you know, they shot 74 field goals for the game. So over half of their shots are threes. I mean, dang.
That's so crazy.
That's tough. You know, so anybody having to deal with that night in and night out in Hofstra's conference is going to, yeah, I feel for you. You better bring your track shoes. Holy. So yeah. I like that pick, man. That's tough.
A game they almost won, a game they brought to overtime. Like you're saying, shot 74 shots, 43 threes. They only had 13 assists all game.
Yeah.
Dude. That's like impossible. You have 74 takes, you only get 13 assists out of it. Like,
right. They so hit, fun. Honestly, if they just hit a few more shots, this is like, it could be a 10-point win.
Oh, dude. Yeah. No, they were cold and they hung with Houston.
Yeah. So it's. Yeah, man, that's great. You know, in Houston, you know, going 10 for 24 from three, and we love to see that. You're like, yeah, we hit 10 threes in the game, you know, but it was just ended up like, man, they have to, yeah. Anybody have fun with Hofstra? That's all I'll say after that. That's crazy.
Yeah, if I end up in New York at some point this winter, I'm definitely going to have to try to wiggle my way over there. But yeah, that was kind of the random, like, mm-hmm. random practically mid-major school, like I don't know what Hofstra technically counts as, I guess mid-major, maybe even small major.
they've been tough and they've won that conference quite a bit with their previous so I would say Hofstra is a good solid, you know, mid-major program who shoot, obviously now they're playing in an NBA style and it's wide open and they're running and gunning. Speedy, shoot, shout out to Speedy Claxton, man. Wow.
Yeah, 2K legend Speedy Claxton. he was speedy. They got that right in his game on back in the day.
Get that steal on NBA Live and be out.
Right. Yeah, pickpocket and run.
Yep.
Yeah, that he's definitely not playing an old school game. He's embracing the, you know, quote unquote analytics of taking a shitload of threes, letting the chips fall where they may.
He played for Coach Pop, right? Spurs,
right? Yep. Many years with Pop. Yeah.
So he's got
that's probably his.
He's got a nice little group of coaches he can reach out to. So
definitely. I wonder if he's buddies with Ime. They're getting lunch when he comes to play the Knicks or something. Hidoka.
Right.
They might have been on. I think they might have been on the same team even. But yeah, lots of shit in college basketball. We could sit here all day and talk about the 400 games that happened to kick off the season last night, but a lot of them were, you know, stuff like Loyola versus North Carolina, not really games, kind of warm-up stuff. Central Connecticut lost by 50 to UConn, but Ohio State barely beat Akron, so I don't know if Akron's also kind of one of those mid-major-ish schools that we should all keep an eye on this year, or if Ohio State is just
other teams. I mean, no, and Akron might be with John Gross, the coach over there. So they've always done a good job. They had Lauren Christian Jackson there last year, who was a player of the year for the MAC. You know, so they have some good players, got some good length there. And leave the Trimble is his last name, Greg Trimble, a guard there.
Yep.
So he's going to be tough. He actually played for one of the guests that came on here, Mike Duncan. Back AAU. So he's an OBC alumni, but
of course he's got a couple kids on Akron.
Yeah,
so that's funny.
Most definitely. That is a good call. Good call on that team.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to follow.
There was a game too that I thought was actually kind of closer than I thought, but the Marquette SIUE, Southern Illinois at Edwardsville. That game was closer. It was 77-88 Marquette with the win. You know, but just looking at the box score, it's just like, man, like, I don't know why the game was so close, but you just look at it, man, and they scored 77 points on Marquette, you know, shooting 2 for 14 from three, you know, but they're
without hitting threes,
out hitting threes, dude. Like, that's one of those games where you look at, like, it's more of the old school up, like, pace to the game, even though Marquette's an up and down team, so. I'm surprised by a Shaka Smart team, you know?
Wait, that Shaka's at Marquette now?
Yeah, Shaka. Not a very Shaka-esque type defensive game, you know? Like,
no.
It just looked like they got kind of beat up at what they do, like playing physical rebound and stuff. Like, so I don't know how Marquette's going to be, man. I don't know. Like, everybody kind of with the Shaka Smart thing. I don't, is that like trapping, running around, chasing you? That's so, like, to me, it's played out. Like, well, I don't know what you think about it, but like, you know,
it's, yeah, it's, I mean, that's, it's a style that I feel like works with a certain group of guys. Like, you really need some like dogs out there to be doing that and it to work and not bite you in the ass. But if you have anybody like hesitant or who doesn't go 100 miles an hour and have a crazy motor, like,
yeah,
you're gonna end up hurting yourself by that with that overextension kind of stuff. But I don't know, Shaka hasn't seemed to be able to really recapture the magic of what was it, VCU or was it Wichita State? Why do I always mix these two up in my head?
VCU, same color.
VCU. Yeah. Same conference, same colors. But yeah, no, ever since VCU, I mean, he didn't have a great time at Texas. He had a lot of good players, but yeah, he kind of underachieved a little bit at Texas. So it'll be interesting to see if he can kind of turn it around with Marquette. Marquette's kind of a school that's been quiet for a few years now, you know, pretty much since Wade. I can't really think of another big run that they had since then. They had I guess it was a few years ago, they were a top 20-ish team, but
yeah,
for the most part, they've been average.
Markell, or is it Marcus Howard?
Oh, right. Yeah, Marcus Howard was – that's right. They had a few years with Howard, who was like 28 points a game point guard there. Yeah, they were really good with him.
So that was that would, like I said, that was with Wojo and them. And, you know, Coach Stan Johnson was another former guest on here. He was on that staff. So, you know, so it's we'll see about Marquette, man. I'm a little surprised by it. But, you know, that's just one team that I always try to follow a little bit just because I'm a Midwest Wisconsin.
Yeah, I follow D-Wade's all in my honor.
Travis Diener.
Travis Diener. You say Dwayne Wade, I say Travis Diener.
Hey,
you know you're a Marquette fan when Travis Diener is coming to your brain.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So,
that's funny. But NBA is it's still going on. It's still doing things. We're in you know, everyone's kind of like 10 to 12 games in-ish. Celtics still haven't won a home game. The Bucks beat the Sixers last night, Tuesday night, which the Sixers were rolling. They were 8-3 going into that game, looking real good, just fine without Benny. And the Bucks were sucking. The Bucks were one of those teams that I was like very confused on why they were below 500, because obviously they have a lot going on for them. But what have you seen with the Sixers with you know, their adjustments to that life after Simmons?
Yeah, that's a team that I really do like, you know, what they've been able to do, and they've spread the wealth around. And now they're working with their shooters as well as, you know, being able to play around and beat. So I would say, like, I really like the Sixers and the fact that they, I guess, really are able to move past it quickly, it seems, and that they're not going to let Ben Simmons be a distraction, as well as it's, you know, it's opening up, I would say, you know, opportunities for other players. And, you know, it seems like they're taking advantage of it right now. They're high on themselves, but it's like I say, I don't know if they're going to be able to sustain it when they have to actually get those stops that they need against those better players. Like, that's where I'm like back and forth with Ben, is because it's like, man, he can really step in there and actually handle those guys and guard the ball and guard and, you know, shoot, you have Giannis and, you know, Middleton, you can throw him on and handle one of those. So it's like, you know, I don't know. I like what they're doing. I love that they're playing tough and they're not letting it be a distraction, but ultimately you need him. And, you know, if they can find a way to make this work or bring him back into the squad with, you know, some sort of purpose, then I see it working. Otherwise I just don't think that he'll ever get back in the rotation, man. And then I think that's when we're going to see these guys, like, it's all it's going to take is Joel to go down, bro. Like, it's that, like, and we know Joel always, it's not anything putting on him, he's going to take some time to rest. He's always going to take games to rest, especially on back-to-back nights. Yeah. So what is going to happen on those type of nights or three games in 5 days, you know, that that type of thing. So that's where I see the Sixers running into, you know, some trouble, because this season's a marathon. You know, we're only, you know, 12 games into this thing, and, you know, they looked solid, and I would say they've overachieved even a little bit.
Yeah.
To sustain this, man, is going to be tough.
Yeah, I think the Joel stuff, and I mean, that's one thing that was always kind of like the back of my mind of like, okay, like, yeah, obviously you're never wishing injuries on anybody, but seeing a team like the Sixers with Simmons and Embiid is terrifying until it's like, well, I mean, both of them didn't play their first year because of injury. Both of them have pretty crazy injury histories. They've been really, you know, healthy the last 2 years-ish, but you know, that never kind of goes away in terms of as you get older. Those, you know, old back injuries, old knee issues, like start to flare up a little more. And like you're saying, when Embiid sits, even just for like a rest game, like it's going to be a whole different offense. It's going to be a whole different style of play because they do kind of run it through Embiid and, you know, work from the inside out. You know, they're shooting 38% from three as a team so far this year, which is pretty good. You know, let me look up what they were at last year. I think it was less than that. It wasn't too far off. It was 37, but, you know, it just looks more wide open. You know, they got more and like having, the thing is with like having Simmons and Embiid and playing them together is like, that's kind of two guys. Embiid is, you know, as much as Simmons, you know, doesn't shoot and, you know, has the, you know, doesn't have the 3-point range, like Embiid does shoot and sometimes will take too many threes and isn't like super efficient from three. He's shooting 40% so far this year on 33 shots, but historically he's been, you know, league average or worse shooter and has taken more than he probably should. So like, if you just shifting that, like taking Simmons out and throwing a guy like, you know, Korkmaz, who's not obviously nearly as good, but still a very big wing, can't defend like Simmons, but he can at least be a body and, you know, he can knock down shots and always be a threat from there. Danny Green's playing a little more. Tybal's getting a little more tick finally. Maxey's been great. Maxey's been awesome. He's kind of turned a corner, it seems, and he might be, you know, that might be the difference is like if Tyrese Maxey takes that leap, like they don't miss Ben as much because Maxey's also like he's not obviously a huge defender, but he can play a little defense. He's a more guard version, like not gonna be guarding 1 through 5, but he can guard 1 through 3 a little bit. Yep. Shoots the ball really, really well. Makes the right decisions, you know, plays point. But, yeah, like you're saying, like, when Embiid goes out and you have Simmons, it's really not that big a deal because you just run it through Simmons. And you still have that guy as your cog to kind of keep the engine going. But with no Simmons, it's going to be, you know, you hope Tyrese Maxey and Seth Curry are not fool's gold. Like, Seth Curry shooting 48% from three on 6 attempts a game right now. Like, is that sustainable? Probably not. But we'll see. It's pretty cool to see how Seth's developed the last few years. And you got George Niang's playing really well. Like,
I like that. Yeah,
20 a game right now? What?
Yang, man.
Oh, that's per 36. I'm like, yo, no way. No.
playing really well, man. And like, he's such a – it's so interesting, too, to look at, you know, see his development throughout – you know, his career and how he's just gotten a little bit better every year. And now it's like kind of actually you're seeing it. And Paul Reed's a guy like.
Yeah, D-ball Paul.
Like, you know, I'm big on Paul. I like what he brings and, you know, everything like the athlete, how long he's 6'9 and can move like a guard. You know, it's great to have, but like his production, man, like he just is not. I don't know why the jump shot isn't right. I don't know why.
Yeah, he's been hurt a little bit, but that's more recently than, you know, all season. He's got 9 games. He got 9 games in before he got injured. Yeah, he's only 22, too. But, yeah, no, you thought the jumper was more there than it is, it appears, once the lights turn on.
Oh, yeah. If it does for him, he's going to be a tough, tough player. And then a great two-way guy, you know, a great defender and a guy who can actually, you know, get you some baskets. You know, 6 points in 24 minutes and – you know, he's like, it's just like, you know, he's kind of active on the glass, but it's just, I just feel like if the jump shot gets there, man, he's going to be tough. And, you know, they just didn't, you know, there was a few guys that just didn't shoot the ball well yesterday either. So, you know, but I think the take on that part with Joel is going to be their ticket, you know, without there, that's tough.
They're you know, obviously if Joel's in there, they're way deeper than like I kind of realized. Like now that Tyrese clearly is better than he was his first year.
Yeah.
Shake Milton's looking good. Like they go about 10, like I didn't think Georges Niang would be, you know, an effective 13 point a game and 20 minutes bench guy that, you know, is ripping boards and stuff and doing stuff, doing kind of everything, a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But if he's that good, Shake's that good, and Tyrese is this good, like, they're 10 deep. Like, they go, you know, and that's not even counting Paul Reed. You know, he's at 10 minutes a game. He would be the 11th guy at the moment. But, like, that's crazy. Even without Simmons, that they're kind of 10 deep. And, you know, they'll have to trim down it when they get to the playoffs. But they'll have plenty of options, at least.
Yeah, they're going to
Tobias Harris ain't going anywhere.
No, that's the thing. Like, you know, that's a tough team right there. If they have everybody healthy, with or without Ben, like you said, that's a team that, you know, they struggled at the end of last year, but that's easily an Eastern Conference final team, you know, without a few of the things that went on with them. But yeah, man, that Sixers team is going to, I'm glad to see that they haven't let it affect them too much, but.
Yeah, they're finding a way, and it seems like Ben's, you know, taking the doctors from Philly now. So hopefully he sorts it out and comes back eventually, or finds a way to get playing somewhere else, because a whole season of no basketball would be not good.
Yeah.
Did you see the Jokic Morris kerfuffle? Yeah,
gotta love it. Been following it a little bit. You know, just for the fact of, you know, people are like, oh yeah, these guys aren't real and this, that, and the third, and whatever. That's cool. Like, you know, maybe they can't, they're not going to really do anything, but I always, you know, will look and just look up, you know, kind of see what the background is, you know, on some of the people they, you know or whatever their backgrounds are. And you just see, you know, instances of, you know, the Morris twins, you know, being involved in things, and, you know, the Jokic brothers have, you know, been arrested or dealt with the law at times too. So it's just kind of like, you know, these are a bunch of guys with a bunch of money, and I just hope that, you know, nothing happens off the court about this. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. Like, you know, so I hope that everything's good when they go back to Miami, and, you know, the man that runs Miami, kind of Udonis Haslam, you know, his weird friends do anything, but, you know.
Pat Riley rolling over in his grave.
But yeah, otherwise, you know, it was not, you know, I will say that the shot, that elbow thrown by Morris, it excessive, and, you know, Jokic reacted in a way like, you're not going to just pick on me and bully me, because, you know, that was something early in his career that, you know, people would do, was kind of push him around, hit him harder, and he didn't get the foul calls, you know. So I think that's what made him, you know, more tough, and, you know, also willing to protect and stand up for himself, you know.
Oh, yeah. But
what the heck were the rest of the Nuggets doing? Like, your buddy like that, and nobody comes.
Your MVP, like,
yeah, the MVP is the enforcer too of the team. I mean, shit. Like, I thought that this was a possible championship team, but like watching that, Jokic has to literally do everything. He's got to defend the best. Got to fight. He's got to do literally.
No. I mean, I think you know, if that was anyone else, given the little extra on the, you know, it was a foul at half court. Like, you don't have to throw your shoulder into the guy. And there was an angle that I saw from behind at court level that, like, Morris hit Jokic right as he was planting his right leg, and it kind of did a little wiggle. And, like, you know, if you catch a guy at the right angle and the right, you know, speed, that, you know, as they plant that leg closest to you, like, you can blow their knee out pretty easily as a 270-pound athlete. But I think if it was anyone other than Morris, I think Jokic gives him the benefit of the doubt and kind of lets it go and is like upset, but he's not going to like just blindside truck him. but because it was Morris, and like, they had history, and Morris has, you know, a reputation of being the enforcer, which is fine. Like, I think every team needs one and wants one. And like, you need kind of that guy to, you know, they keep the shit from not happening by being the guy who's with the shits, kind of thing. And if it wasn't Morris, I don't think he trucks him. But because it was Morris, Jokic was like, no. But yeah, like you're saying, though, Morris twins have a reputation for meeting folks out back, or you know, mom's boyfriend out back. And hopefully Jokic doesn't run into that anytime soon. But, you know, the Jimmy thing was funny to me, because Jimmy was right there in his face, like, when it happened, didn't do shit. And then, like, there was a clip of, like, Jokic is already sitting on the bench, like, all laid out, like, just big freaking oaf breathing heavy on the bench like he always does. He's a freaking hilarious like body language guy. But Jimmy started bugging out, like, meet me out back, meet me in the locker room kind of thing. And it was like, dude, you had your chance. Like, you wanted to shove him, you could have. But Jimmy's another kind of, like, classic. Like, oh, he would win a fight, but I don't know if he's really going to fight anybody. They all understand they got millions on the line. They ain't fucking with that.
They aren't fighting, no chance. Like, it's just too much money, and it's too much of a – like you, what we were saying, this is a distraction now because of social media and all the crap, whatever. And the twins, like, were like, oh, my mom said to stop, so stop tweeting. So they stopped. I was like, guys, either way, you shouldn't be on there with them because, like, they're at the end of the day, they're fans, and just let it roll. Handle this, you know, like Jokic is, I think, personally, like when I watch him play, and if he's ever had anything, he's always apologetic. You know, he actually can – you know, see like what I did, what he did was wrong, you know, and that's what I would hope that, you know, these guys can sit down and just be like, listen, and hash it out, and then just squash it, because it's just a bad look, I guess. You know, I love the rivalry part and that they're going to play tough, but it's like, you know, that could lead to people getting hurt. And you know, that's the last thing you want to see. Especially with this NBA and the fraternity that they have, the top 450 players in the world, you know, and I think that they respect each other enough to, you know, understand like, hey, this is your livelihood, just like it's mine. And mm-hmm. there doesn't need to be any crazy out of control injuries based on one altercation that we could squash and just be grown men and say, hey, listen, it went too far. Didn't mean to hurt you. I thought it was this, blah, 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 and move on. But if this, you know, transpires into more games, I mean, do we have a rivalry between the Nuggets and the Heat? Hell no. That doesn't even make sense. You know, so, like, guys need to stop. They probably won't – like, you know what I mean? They'll play once or twice a year, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, if they meet, it's in the finals.
Yeah.
It's, looks like Jokic got a one-game suspension.
Yep.
So, I mean, that was kind of expected. He get suspended one game. Like, you know, you can't not suspend him for truck sticking someone from behind, even if it was provoked. Morris got a fine, Jenny got a fine. So hopefully that's kind of it. Like you said, like, you know, it happens. It's basketball, you know, tempers flare, but it's not really that big a deal. No one got hurt, so who cares? and now Morris knows, like, yo, you – don't mess with the guy who's 7'3" and, you know, 300 pounds and grew up on the streets of Serbia. Like, that's probably the last thing you want to do.
Playing, man, he's not playing with that. So yeah.
Yeah, no, it's inevitable though. Morris is like our, you know, Marcus. We had him for a bit, we had Keith for a bit, and you know, the bully eventually gets bullied. Like, you can be that guy, and it's great to have that guy, but you gotta understand, like, don't turn your back. Like, eventually someone's gonna you're gonna piss someone off.
Exactly. Exactly what Isaiah Thomas and Shaq had said as well. Like, you do that and you just walk away, like, come on, bro. Like, you gotta do something. Like, that's crazy. So yeah, no, that's that up. And I had to hit you up yesterday, and I asked you before we, you know, kind of talked about this, but with Damian Lillard, is he this era's like Reggie Miller, you know, just unbelievable, offensively gifted and does great things, but just may never win one?
Yeah.
I don't know if they have enough out there, and if they're going to really build around this man, like,
it's, I don't tough.
Know what to do. They have, it's such tough. A weird style of play, you know?
Yeah, and, like, it's the Lillard-McCollum kind of duo that's really good, but also, like, kind of handcuffs you in terms of your ceiling, unless you can get, like, per se, a Ben Simmons or a Joel Embiid, or, you know, a guy of that caliber of a, you know, a giant forward who can, you know, do some stuff too and play some defense, like, unless you can get a guy like that without splitting those two up, which they're going to have to split those two up if they're going to get a guy that caliber via trade. They got to get it in free agency. Like, their ceiling is, like, you know, a 4 or 5 seed. And, you know, in a conference finals, like, it's with the, you know, playing the two guards as much as they do, that aren't necessarily defensive oriented. I know McCollum plays a little better defense than Lillard, but neither of them are like great defenders, and you kind of need, you know, a little more around them to make it work. In the loyalty aspect, like, love it, but also like, maybe you should go to Minnesota and play with Towns or something and try to bring them out of the doldrums. But yeah, they're sitting at 5-6 right now, 10th in the West. Dame's kind of had a rough season so far this year too. He's under 20 points a game for the first time since his rookie year, which is crazy, and that's definitely not going to hold up all season, but he had a slow start. You know, the team's not quite what you would think, but they also just, you know, they just have a, they have a ceiling, and it's not the finals at the moment.
It's just, I don't know. I can't figure them out. I really can't. And, you know, their starters played well, you know, except for Covington, you know, 40 minutes, almost 6 points, you know, one.
Yeah. Roko's got to be good for them. He's kind of that guy that should be filling that wing role, defensive anchor kind of player. But he's not quite that good.
And their bench is just, you know, I don't know.
The bench is bad. I mean, the bench is rough. Like, I mean, Cody Zeller, I guess, is starting a bit for them. But you got Nurkic, your big men are Nurkic, Nance, and Zeller, which, like, I kind of like that trio of big men, but it's kind of weak defensively. And then, you know, Anthony Simons is – he's good. He might be better in the next couple of years, but he's also really young still. Like, he came to the league at like 18 or some shit. Yeah. And he's also kind of like redundant with Lillard and McCollum, because he is that like scoring guard that, you know, needs the ball in his hands kind of thing to really be effective and isn't going to play great defense. You would hope Nasir Little takes a step. Tony Snell is on the roster. I don't know if that means much anymore. Norm Powell's been good at least. Like, Powell's been awesome. He's an undersized wing-ish. Like, he's not, you know, if he's playing next to Lillard and McCollum, he becomes undersized. If he's, you know, yeah, your two guard, he's not that undersized. But if he's your third tallest player, like, that's that might be a slight defensive problem when you're already rolling out Lillard and McCollum next to each other, which is kind of what they do. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see. They lost to the Clippers last night. Clippers look they look pretty good. Paul George is so far on his trajectory of potential MVP status, like you were alluding to earlier this summer.
Yeah, man. It's funny to see, just because, you know, the only reason I predicted it was just because being without, you know, Kawhi. But, like, he's actually, like, taken this team in a leadership role in this team. And that's where I think that he's actually going to be able to sustain this. And it may be a thing where now you add Kawhi, if any, ever, which I don't even know if it's this year or not, but nonetheless, down the line, I think that this could actually potentially be a championship team with their mindset. And then they'll have the amount of talent that they need, you know, to actually make a run. But I think this year is so important for Paul George. And right now he's living up to it. And he's playing well.
Yeah, he seems almost more comfortable, you know, when it's just him. Uh-huh. He's trying – I mean, Kawhi is awesome, so, like, it's not a big deal if he's playing second fiddle and, like, not playing as well as he could. So it kind of works out. And they do a good job of working together to kind of, like, pick their spots on who's going to be the maestro of the offense, kind of doing, like, a dueling banjo, switching off kind of thing. But when he's just the guy and, like, you know, he has the freedom to kind of just play – he's always been so much better in those situations, like going back to Indiana, and, like, you know, he kind of struggled for a little bit in OKC when it was him and Westbrook, and then, you know, he figured it out when Westbrook was out kind of thing. But yeah, that roster is pretty decent. Terrence Mann seems to be still taking steps. Isaiah Hartenstein had a big game against Portland, which I don't think that's going to happen very many times this season, but we'll see. Kennard sucked against Portland. I only know that because I took his over on Underdog and it was only 10 points and he got 3. I was like, bro, you had 25 like 2 games ago. What are we doing? Bledsoe's still there. Like, they under Ty Lue too. Like, that's a good, they got a chance. They got a chance to do something in the West, especially with how wide open shit is this year. Like, if the Lakers, like, you know, the Lakers are very average, it appears, without LeBron, which you could kind of see coming with kind of the pieces that they put around, you know, as complimentary players that are all kind of guys that could play off LeBron a little bit. But without LeBron, it's a whole different beast of a team and construction and chemistry of the roster. So, you know, Westbrook's going wild out there, just doing Westbrook-y things.
Is he ever?
Dude, I was talking to a guy last night and he was like, you know, the thing that bothers me with LeBron and, like, you know, that always affects his teams, and like you're seeing it this year a little bit, is he's, you know, there's two types of guys in the league that are superstars, and superstars that, you know, the team melds to them and the players have to kind of adjust to how they play and what they do on the court, or the player, the superstar that makes their teammates better by their presence and like more melds their game to set up their teammates better. And LeBron, you know, obviously all-time great, fucking top five player of all time kind of guy, but like, and that's why he's in that role of the team melds to me, but he's never been a guy that, like, you know, will adjust his game to, you know, his roster construction. He's going to play his game and the guys around him kind of have to, you know, fill the corners or stuff like that. And I don't think this roster really, like, even when he comes back, he's been out with an abdominal like strain or something like that. Even when he comes back, like, I don't feel like that roster is built around him to really be as effective as it could be, like in terms of shooters and kick out options and cutting options. Like, I don't like the mix of Westbrook and LeBron. I don't feel like that's going to be that complimentary of a thing, unless you're running in the fast break, which, now that they're both, like, you know, mid-30s, and, you know, Westbrook hasn't really lost a step, but he's definitely not what he used to be. He's kind of lost a step. And LeBron's definitely slowed down a little bit on the fast break stuff. Like, it doesn't happen as often as it used to be. So it's, I don't know, it's going to be a, their defense isn't very good. That needs to get up a bit, but we'll see. We'll see what happens with them. I think the Clippers are going to be the better team in LA this year.
Yeah, man. No, I agree with that. And honestly, when, you know, what you mentioned with LeBron and not, you know, switching, I guess, his style of play to match better with the guys that are around him, I would say that, you know, if you can find somebody that worked closely with Tex Winter, I would bring the triangle situation with these guys. And the reason I say that is just because you have Anthony Davis is so dynamic as a big, and, you know, instead of, you know, having LeBron be the elbow guy, catch, give it to Russell, you know, a little bit, and you can mix them up so much, and they're already heavy isolation. You know, that's what, you know, they focus on when they get to the half court, is to do their action to get to an isolation to then, you know, exploit that weakness or draw doubles and kick out, you know. So I think that a triangle just moves all your better players closer to the basket and then still leaves it open, you know, for guys to hit shots and get in transition, et cetera. But I just think it allows, you know, the more skill of Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook to actually come out. Cause right now it's like them being like catch and rip guys or catch dump, like, they just don't play like that anymore. You know, they just don't play like that. So I think that, you know, just to bring a little bit more fluidity to Russell's game, because he's just, like you said, it's up and down and up and down. So it's never know where he's going to be. And, right, you know, as your point guard, it's, that makes it tough, you know, to be consistent.
Someone took a picture of like the play. It's very funny that you bring up Tex Winter there. Like, I would love, you know, he's the originator of the triangle for folks who don't recognize the name. I was like, but yeah, definitely that rings a bell now. You know, if they get Phil Jackson in there or something, he's 76 at this point. I don't know if he's trying to do one more year, one more ring, but he would certainly help. Somebody, maybe whoever the hell the young version of Phil Jackson would be at this point in terms of running triangle. I don't know if there's anybody in the league that runs triangle.
I'm saying, like, I was trying to kind of find, like, if there's anybody even doing it, like, at a college level, like, you know, right, looking kind of at his coaching career and potential places that could have some people on that tree. So, I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, man, that's a guy, like, damn, if you could run that style of offense, it, you know, it's less wear and tear, in my opinion. You know, you don't have to, you know, out-athlete teams. You know, LeBron, you're 39 years old. Like,
Dude, Melo. So Melo also, you know, mad old, but he's been looking great so far. He's shooting 52% from three on 7 attempts a game. He was 7 of 10 the other night. He's really filling in the role while LeBron's out in terms of providing a little scoring help. But there was somebody posted on Twitter an image of kind of like the game play-by-play, like the text play-by-play of and it was of like late game situation with the Lakers. And it was just Westbrook like 6 times in a row of like Westbrook gets rebound, Westbrook takes shot, misses. Westbrook gets steal, turns it over. Westbrook misses 3-point pull up. Like it was like 6 possessions in a row of just Westbrook like going crazy, like doing some good things, but just like, you know, taking the shots that he probably shouldn't take. Like you shoot 25% from three, please stop. And taking those, you know, like 17 foot off the dribble pull ups that, you know, are never really have been his efficiency part of his game, but. You know, it's nice to have the dynamic player, you know, for running the break and stuff. But yeah, I mean, and he can draw some defense and kick to Melo as has been happening with LeBron out. But I feel like Westbrook's going to end up the Achilles heel in the playoffs because he's going to, you know, be like, I'm Russell Westbrook. I'm going to do things now. When you have, you know, Anthony Davis in the post, LeBron on the wing, Carmelo post or, you know, spotted up somewhere. Westbrook's going to say it's Westbrook time at some point in the playoffs, and it's going to come back to bite the Lakers. I can already see it.
You know, and, you know, this is way far out there, this take that I'm going to throw out, but is Russell Westbrook, like, could he be more beneficial coming off the bench for this team? You know, where, you know, LeBron isn't necessarily out there with him all the time or as many minutes to kind of give him a Lou Williams type of role. I don't know if that could work.
And just be Russell for 20 minutes, you know, 30 minutes off the bench. But
if you're killing
all those minutes that any minute that LeBron and AD aren't out there, which hardly ever happens that both of them are out there unless LeBron's injured or AD's injured, which actually I guess happens relatively often. the injury health with LeBron the last couple of years is sad and troubling. Like hopefully hopefully he's just kind of, you know, making the season a little shorter so he can have a little playoff push kind of thing. But yeah, that would make sense to have Westbrook off the bench and just let him do his Westbrook thing, but just make sure it's like the minutes that you don't actually have another superstar out there for him to be working off of, or just make him play pick and roll with Anthony Davis every second of every game, which would be more dynamic than what they're trying to do right now. I feel like, or what Westbrook's freelancing with right now. But yeah, that's going to, I mean, I love watching the Lakers this year just out of like sadistic means. they're kind of a soup sandwich and a shit show all in one and still good and entertaining with players, but not sure if they're really that good.
Yeah, me either, man. I'm really not sold on the squad as far as what they'll do defensively either, you know, in those gritty games. So. That's all. I mean, you know, got enough talent. So we'll see. We'll see if they can, you know, kind of pick it up a little bit after All-Star break. Maybe that'll be the time. I don't know. You know, but we always see a different LeBron the second half of the year. So,
yeah,
we'll see how they go, man. We will. And Horton Tucker may be coming back too.
Yeah, that's so funny to see. Who's the other dude? Trevor Ariza. Ariza, Horton Tucker, and LeBron all sitting next to each other in like sweatshirts. It's like hanging out, and it's like, damn, that's like a huge chunk of minutes right there. Injured on the bench. But it's early, so it's whatever. I get it. Like, I think the 72 game season last year was a blessing, like, and should kind of be adopted because it's like baseball. Like, you don't need 182 games, just like you don't need 82 games for basketball. Like, 72 is plenty. Even 65 would be plenty, but it's all, you know, obviously a money equation when it gets down to that stuff. But for playoff purposes and health of players and delivering quality regular season basketball on a consistent basis, I feel like that would help. I don't know. I'm just an idiot. but whatever. You got your Warriors. Steph's looking good and looks like his running mates are going to be back a little earlier than expected.
Yeah, man, it's that's really cool to see, you know, because we've been waiting for Clay, you know, to finally get out there and, you know, be healthy and do what he's get back to doing what he's done. But what, you know, what Steph Curry has done, man, is the shots he's able to make and, you know, how much this team is thriving and feeding off him and watching other players play well. It's like, damn, what happens when Wiseman and Clay come back? I mean, are they going to be even better? Like, they're already like top in the league with their record as is, and in the 9-1 I believe they are now. So it's just, you know, watching like and seeing their schedule, like, they could have easily been 5-5 headed, but it's like they're playing so well. And I mean, when those two guys get back, dude, watch out. I can't wait to see why healthy Wiseman. Can't wait to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really glad that, you know, I thought it was an ACL tear, but it was just a meniscus thing that happened last year. So that was really good to see, especially since I have his rookie top shot. he's a guy that, like, when the Warriors got him, it was like, oh, Jesus, why the hell did we just let the Warriors get Wiseman? Like, what? So that's, yeah, I'm glad to see he's going to come back healthy. I'm going to be really interested to see how Clay, he's, the clips that we've seen, he looks like, you know, same old Clay in terms of how he's moving and stuff, but coming off of that ACL and an Achilles back-to-back, like, you know, that's just like a feel-good story if he doesn't, you know, suck at all, which yeah. I can't imagine he's going to suck. He's probably going to at least be average, but seeing him, you know, get back in the swing of things and what he can do. I mean, yeah, Jordan Poole's holding it down for them. Jordan Poole's at 18 a game right now. And Wiggins is at 16. Like, it's Steph, Poole, and Wiggins doing all the offense. What?
And Poole, honestly, he may be up for most improved player this year.
Oh, yeah.
But he's
and been, then Bridges.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Yeah, Bridges as well, playing great. And so it's like, when you see stuff like that, it's honestly, Juwan Howard – like, we have to – Juwan Howard needs more credit given to him as far as developing NBA talent. And a lot of the players, like, Poole, you know, and then just Wagner, Franz Wagner playing well for the Magic. It's like their style matches and can translate and guys can play at the next level and have success. You know, that just shows, you know, the tremendous work ethic, too, of Jordan Poole. You know, I mean – like I say, these combo guards, man, they're a game changer. And, you know, if you can find one, wow. Because what Jordan Poole has done has been nothing short of remarkable. And, you know, the team is playing great too. You know, and I'm sure Draymond loves it, you know, doing what he does, finding everybody. But, you know, it's just kind of like feels a little bit back to the Warriors of the past, playing fun, having fun, enjoying each other. You know, and Steve Kerr getting to sit back and watch the show.
Poole's been really good. Draymond's obviously, you know, pigging shit with the ability to just pass to guys that are still good. Like, that was the biggest kind of worry is, like, is Draymond going to be as effective when you don't have, you know, elite kind of shooters around him to help, you know, his ball distribution look, you know, and be as effective as it can be. But guys have stepped up, like you're saying, Juwan Howard, but like, big shout out to him for, you know, grooming these guys coming into the league and getting them pro ready. Like, Poole's had that classic, like, 8 points a game his first year, 12 points a game his second year. Now he's up to 18 his third year. He's only 22. Like, sky's the limit when you have that kind of a trajectory and growth year over year before you're really, you know, getting out of the 22 college age, essentially. So it's cool to see. That's also terrifying to see because the Warriors don't necessarily need better guys, especially now that Wiseman's returning to practice officially already. He's going to play in Santa Cruz for a little bit to get, you know, reacclimated and comfortable again. And then Clay's allegedly coming back. Would you say Christmas he'd be back?
That's what they were kind of projecting as an earliest timetable for him is that Christmas Day game. So
that'd be sick.
That would be great to see, you know, him coming back. But, you know, obviously the way he plays is, you know, he guards so well and he really needs to be able to push off that and feel comfortable. So I don't see them rushing it back. But, you know, obviously I would love a Christmas Day present of watching the old Warriors, you know, and kind of see them get going again, you know, so that would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I was seeing so Wizards and Cavs are funny. They're two teams that like everyone's picking to be the bottom of the bucket kind of thing. And they're both like 7-4 and 7-3 going into Wednesday night's matchup. They're playing each other. So that'll be fun to see out. You know, this is gonna drop Thursday. You'll know the result by then. But that's two teams that are supposed to be lottery teams that look freaking great right now. Whether that holds up, we'll see. But that's definitely worth turning on some Wizards and Cavs games because they both play real hard. They run a little bit different stuff than most, especially the Cavs with all their big men running around out there. But that's I think the biggest surprise first, you know, eighth of the way into the season kind of mark as we're at here. Like Cavs are nasty and the Wizards might be legit. Montrezl Harrell might be something. I don't want to say all-star yet. I don't want to jinx his ass, but he's like a 20-10 guy all of a sudden.
It's amazing to see what, you know, sometimes the grass is greener, you know, especially for a Montrezl Harrell leaving the situation that he was in out west.
A little clogged.
Yeah, 100%. And now it's great to come to a squad that wants you and needs you, and, you know, he's playing that way, and other guys are rising to the occasion. You know, it's nice to see, you know, Bradley Beal finding some of his teammates, you know, and, you know, I haven't even had a chance to watch too much. I've only been able to see their highlights, but, you know, another draft pick that the Chicago Bulls get rid of just playing well. So it's just more of that, but it's funny, but I'm glad to see that they're doing well. And shoot, it makes the East more competitive, dude. Like, as long as the East can be somewhat competitive, you know, hell, that's nice to see. Because, you know, the top three teams, four teams in the East, it seems like they pretty much got that, like, as far as what's going to happen. But, you know, you like to see teams on the rise. And, you know, especially Beal. He stuck true to, you know, Washington when he
– Yeah, it'd be insane if, you know, that's a Ewing rule or Ewing theory kind of case with Washington. You take out Westbrook and all of a sudden they're nasty. It's like, and all of a sudden the Lakers aren't as good. I don't know.
Either.
But
yeah, no, that's a good point too.
No shout out to Bill Simmons, by the way. No shout out. But yeah, the top seven in the East is all 7 wins or more, 7-4 or better to start the season. So it's, I mean, they're getting the best of the West so far. The West kind of has like three teams that, you know, are 7 wins or better, and the Mavs, Jazz, and Warriors. But the Suns are right there. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how this all rolls out, because it is fucking anyone's game right now, really.
That's wild, actually. I misjudged that on the East, but
The Nets are sixth as it stands, and they're 7-4, which is absurd.
The East, that's great though. So it's, I'm glad, and the Bulls are in that mix to fight.
The Bulls are number two,
makes it fun. So you know, as long as it's good basketball, and you know, that's what everybody wants to see. And you know, watching guys, you know, progress and get better every year is fun as well. So hell, I'm glad. You know, you watch the East beat pounded by the West recently.
Hell yeah, and if the Celtics don't win a home game on season like they have so far, I'll just watch a lot of Paolo Banchero and hope for the best, because, Jesus Christ, college basketball's back at least. There's talented people doing cool shit to watch that isn't going to be as frustrating as my season, so that's good at least. Oh, silver linings, that's all we got here. You got anything else today, big guy?
No, man, I'm just gonna get ready here for the day. Got a few things to do. Got to work out with a couple clients. So
nice.
So that's what I'm working on today. And then after that, I think it's an early day for school kids too. So yeah, they have a Wednesday thing where every Wednesday they get out early. So, but right. Also too, I think for Veterans Day they definitely have school. You know, and I'm sure that they will do something for that. So. What you got going on for today?
I gotta close this laptop, the podcast laptop, and open up the work laptop and do the work thing. So that'll be fun. I work on not Central Time, Mountain Time. So thankfully was able to squeeze in this little Wednesday morning recording. Maybe we'll make this a thing. Days that we don't have guests, instead of recording on Tuesday, we'll do it on a Wednesday, and then doing that, and then probably editing this tonight, watching some games. Kelly's got a little yoga session, so I'm gonna be having to figure out something to do with myself after work today. So I think we'll be editing and watching games. So that'll be fun. Big dude.
Awesome.
Sees Raptors, so probably gonna get disappointed again. The Raptors, even when they're not good, always give us trouble. And they're actually kind of decent this year, so.
Is that
Scottie Barnes about to murder us?
Scottie Barnes playing well. Is that a home game or an away game?
It's in the Garden, so hopefully we get the first home win of the season. But the Raptors are 4-0 on away games, and we are 0-3 at home to start the year. So I'm not bullish on that. We're favored. We got -2, but I don't believe it.
Yeah,
that seems like free money once again for Raptors fans.
Both teams have kind of had some time off too, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, weird schedule to start the season. We had like 3 games in 4 nights kind of thing, and then all of a sudden we had like 2 days off, a game, and then 3 days off, and now we have a game today, and it's like, what the fuck are we, like, what is going on with the schedule? It's got to be because of the Bruins. I blame the Bruins. That's it.
Yeah, man. Wow. Yeah, I feel that's a tough schedule, man. Like,
yeah, and we got Milwaukee on Friday night on ESPN. So if everyone wants to watch the Celtics and Bucks figure out what the hell they're doing as 500 teams that shouldn't be to start the year,
yeah,
that'll be a good one.
Heck yeah. And the Bucks, man, and the Bucks have a tough little stretch too. They got the Knicks tonight. Scheduling is going to be a big thing, and how guys rest this year. And make sure that everybody's healthy for the playoffs, because some of these games, and having 3 games in 5 nights, and then you have you're off a week.
That's so weird. There's no rhythm to it. It fucks everything up with every other day. Just do it every other day. Why are we doing this up and down busy schedule and no busy schedule? Like, there's just no way to get into a rhythm. Bucks have Knicks, Celtics, Hawks, and Lakers all in a row. So that's a tough little run. But then they get the reward of Thunder, Magic, Pistons after that. So it'll balance out, but not, they might lose a couple here again. Shout out on our list. I guess that'll do that for us, do it for us today. Where can they find you, Andy?
You guys can, Twitter, AJRoshan22. And on Instagram, Coach Roshan, I'm on there. If, like we were saying earlier, if you guys need t-shirts, DMs are open, hit us up and, let me know the size and everything like that. We'll get you guys situated. So I'm always available, always out there, man. Looking to talk hoops with anybody who wants to.
Yeah. We'll keep you guys posted on, what the hell that promo code ends up being. Maybe you get a little discount on us. They got some really cool designs on there when I eventually say the company, because I don't want to say it too soon. we'll keep posted on that, and we'll have something this Sunday. So we'll see you on the other side. Check out BYRP365 for updates, I guess. But see you later.
All right, cool.